On this week's episode of the Kreebo Shoe Podcast, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Welcome back to another episode of the Kreebo Shoe Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Chad.
Hello, everyone.
So we've got an exciting show lined up for you guys today. We're going to be talking all about our impressions of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Before we get into that, though, let's go ahead and talk about what we've been playing. What have you been playing here lately, Chad?
So I've been playing a little Splatoon 2. You know, the Splatfest was happening, so we were able to participate in that. And also, of course, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, what we're going to be talking about that a little bit later.
Oh, you've played that?
I have played that,
okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
I'll tell you what I think about it later.
Awesome.
Kirby Nightmare in Dreamland on the Game Boy Advance. I've been playing it on a Nintendo DS.
Okay.
This is a Kirby game that this is probably my most anticipated Kirby game ever to play, and I'm finally getting a chance to play it now.
Oh, awesome.
So so far, it's probably the hardest Kirby game I've ever played.
I'm thinking, is this the one that's almost kind of like you can kind of go wherever, like a Metroid type almost?
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've heard really good things about this game.
So have I. It seems like Meta Knight is one of the main characters in there,
cool.
Too.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
So far, having a lot of fun. And
so did you just pick that up, or have you had it for a while?
I've had it for a very long time. I don't even remember where I got it.
Okay.
And finally, Dr. Mario World. I got to, I think, level 60, and it was so tough that I haven't played it in a few days.
Oh, wow. So you've still been sticking with Dr. Mario World. Very good.
I was up until a few days ago, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Man, about the same for me. Splatoon 2, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. The only other thing I've been playing is a game that was just released the day we're recording this. That's Pokemon Rumble Rush. It just came out on the iPhone. I think it was out on Android for a couple of weeks already.
Okay.
And this is a pretty fun game, at least so far. I've played it about 30 minutes. And this is another entry in the long-running Pokemon Rush franchise. Pokemon Rumble franchise, I'm sorry. But this is one of the first ones I've played, and so far I'm having a lot of fun. It's pretty fun.
Well, good. I plan on downloading it after we're finished recording so I can give it a try.
Yeah, one of these, free-to-play, where you can pay to...
Of course.
To advance, but I have it. Definitely not planning on spending any money on it, but seeing how far I can get just for free.
Very cool.
Awesome. So let's see here. What about any pickups? Have you had anything of note lately?
So I did find a pretty cool item at a pawn shop. I found a copy of Xenoblade Chronicles on the Wii. Now, I've been looking for this game for a while. I found it for under $20, so I was super happy to pick this thing up.
Well, that's a steal right there. I've seen this, but they want what it's worth.
Anyway, right.
I've seen selling it. So.
Right, exactly. So I was super, super happy to get that. And also, I also picked up a copy of Kid Icarus. I think it's of Miz and Monsters on the Game Boy.
That's correct. The sequel to Kid Icarus on the NES.
Yes, I've never played this game, and I don't think I've even played the original before.
Oh, so, wow, yeah.
The only... thing I know about Pit is what Smash tells me.
Yeah, he's really not been in very many games other than the Smash series, this Game Boy game, the NES, and the 3DS. I think that's the only games he's ever been in.
Wow.
So, I also have this game, but I'm not familiar with it. I bought it way later. I never had it as a kid, but I do really like Kid Icarus on the NES. So.
Very cool. I plan on giving it a try eventually.
Now, did you pick this up loose or in box?
Loose.
Okay, yeah, that's how I have it as well.
It was loose. And the only other thing I got was a Splatoon 2 Splatfest tee. Since it was the final Splatfest, they put these t-shirts up on Nintendo's website. And you told me just in the nick of time before they sold out, and I was able to secure me one.
Yeah.
A team order one, of course.
Right, team order. Rest in peace.
I kind of wish I would have got a Chaos shirt.
I just happened to see that these had went live and was able, like you said, to get one and let you know. These sold out quick.
I don't think
they were up for very long at all, just a few hours. And I've actually was really happy when mine came. It fit me just right. I always worry about ordering a shirt online. You just never know.
I know.
And I was like, I know I'm not going to be able to switch this out for a different size because I know they're going to sell out. And but I was really happy with the size and like the quality of the shirt. It's really nice. It really reminds me of the quality of like the shirts we bought at Nintendo New York.
Right, exactly.
So it's a pretty high quality shirt. Of course, it had a pretty high price tag, so I would expect it to.
It did.
But this is really cool. It's neat owning kind of to me, it's a piece of Splatoon history, really.
I think so. Yeah, same here.
I was happy to get mine as well. So I picked up some other Splatoon-related things. This final Splatfest kind of got me in the mood. I had my little nephew with me over the weekend, and we went and were looking for some Splatoon stuff. So I ended up finding at our local Barnes & Noble, they had some of the blind box Splatoon weapons, like the ones that we got when we were in Nintendo New York.
Right.
And so we picked up a couple of these. This was a different series. I think it's called the Buki Collection, the B-U-K-I. And one of them that really caught my eye that you could potentially get was a set of dualies. And I was really hoping for that. I didn't end up getting it. We ended up getting two blasters.
Oh, okay.
But I really like these little Splatoon weapons. They're very well detailed, very accurate to the game, and they come with a little display stand to put them up. And so I was happy to add this one to my collection.
Very cool. Yeah, you've got it out here in front of us, and yeah, the quality looks great. I have to agree, I would love a pair of dualies though. That'd
exactly
be awesome.
So I was happy to get that. And also I picked up a little Splatoon 2 figurine, and I got kind of excited when I saw these. I think these are also from Japan, and they're blind boxes, and they're little figurines. I'd say maybe about 1.5 times the height of maybe like a Lego minifigure. So they're still pretty small. And they have different, it looked like to me that you would get a character as well as an outfit. And it's all in-game outfits. So I was pretty excited about this. But I guess I didn't look at it good enough, because when I opened up, I bought two of them. One of them had a character and one had an outfit. So it's only one per box. So I was a little disappointed by that, because for about $8 is what they were charging. I don't know that it's worth it, but it is neat to have a little Splatoon 2 figurine, I will say.
Yeah, that's really cool. There's not a whole lot of Splatoon 2 figures, except maybe a couple World of Nintendo ones, but I really like these Japanese ones. But yeah, that is a pretty high price tag for possibly only an outfit.
It is. So rounding out the Splatoon 2 goodies is I was going on the Nintendo store website where we bought our Splatfest t-shirts, because I was going to see if they were still available, and I saw they were sold out, but something else caught my eye. They had a Splatoon 2 hoodie for sale on there, and so I also picked that up.
Very cool.
For this upcoming winter. And I just got this in the mail, and this is a very high quality hoodie. It's like extremely thick and soft, way nicer than I was expecting. So I picked that up, and I'm not sure if that's still available or not. It probably is. It wasn't anything special, I don't think, but I was happy to get it.
Well, very, very neat. I expect to see you in the winter sporting that.
So. I 100% will. So yeah, that's pretty much it for the pickups. Let's go ahead and move on into the news. So we've got a few things. I thought we'd lead off with kind of continuing the Splatoon theme. Let's talk about the final Splatfest. They were calling it the Splatpocalypse.
Splatpocalypse.
Yes. So I was pretty excited about this. We were getting Chaos versus Order, the final Splatfest. This one ran for 72 hours. That was really nice. And I ended up playing it on Friday, on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. So I had a lot of fun playing in this final Splatfest.
I did as well. I was able to join you, I believe, all three times.
Yeah.
So we really had a lot of fun doing that. So at some point, we had a full team of
full
four.
Full squad,
of
yes.
Our,
that
of
was
our
a
friends.
Lot of fun.
So, and I have to say, some of those battles were some of the, even though we were kind of rusty, we did very well for how much we had not been practicing.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with how well we actually did.
And we actually had a few pretty major victories, I would say. We were able to get in, I believe, 3 10X battles, and we won all three of them.
That's correct.
So that's the first time in the history that we have ever won some 10X battles.
Yes, and I tell you, I was so nervous the first time it came up. I thought, there's no way we're going to win. It was just me and you that time, and we somehow ended up pulling out the victory, and I couldn't have been happier. And really, I thought that would be the only one we hit all weekend, and we were fortunate enough to hit two more, including one with our full team of four of friends of ours, and that one was pretty special, too.
And it's so cool to see, after you win that, to see your name flash down there on the breaking news section of the screen. You can see our names roll up across, and then we discovered that in the Splatoon 2 square that you
yes.
could see a on the billboard where you choose your Splatfest team, you could see a picture of the winning teams on those 100X and 10X battles.
That's
and
right.
We were up there, and it looked awesome.
Yeah, so I got a good screenshot of that, and we'll be probably posting it to the social media so everyone can see. But yeah, it was really cool to see yourself in Inkopolis square.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I have to say I'm kind of sad to see the Splatfest go. I really did enjoy it. We didn't play in all of them. We played in a bunch of them, and I always had a good time.
Yeah, I did too. I really, in fact, I guess Order did lose. In case was wondering, chaos reigns supreme.
Yeah, in fact, it won all three categories. I thought that was very shocking.
It's a total team wipe.
It seems like in any of the Splatfests that I've kind of paid attention to, typically the one that was more popular would end up losing the other two categories. And in this case, it was most popular, Chaos was, and it won all the other ways. So congrats to Team Chaos, I guess. You're going to get what you want. Anything can happen now.
That's right. I was expecting a huge change. I was checking back Sunday morning quite a few times to see, what's going to change in the game. But nothing has really changed in this game. I think maybe they're setting the tone for possibly a Splatoon 2 or a Splatoon 3 or something.
Yeah, I would say either another expansion to Splatoon 2 or maybe even, like you said, the sequel Splatoon 3 when that comes out.
Right.
And so I guess we'll probably have to wait till one of those things happens to see kind of what Chaos winning really is going to do to the Splatoon universe.
Right.
A few more news items about Splatoon that came out after this final fest was they've announced that a replica Splatfest t-shirt will be distributed with the version 5.0.0 update for Splatoon 2, which contains the ability doubler as one of the abilities on this shirt. So I thought that was kind of neat. That they're actually going to release a Splatfest tee that you can wear whenever.
That's cool.
And it's going to include the ability doubler ability. So I'm looking forward to getting that and trying that out.
Yeah, same here.
And then also, we actually got something announced for America I never thought we'd see. But you can now get a Splatoon 2 gear set code on the My Nintendo website for 100 platinum points. And this was previously exclusive to 7-Eleven customers in Japan. And this they've had this for a long time, and people had given up on this ever coming to America. But you can get it now for the low price of 100 platinum points.
All right. I'm definitely going to have to do that,
too. So, yeah, I picked this up. It's two shirts and two jackets.
Okay.
And they're exclusive to the My Nintendo Rewards site. So I picked those up and was happy to get some new clothing items for my Inkling.
Oh, for sure. My Octoling.
Or Octoling, exactly. So yeah, that's kind of it for all the Splatoon news. Splatoon 2 news. Another pretty big announcement we got, we talked, of course, about the Switch Lite last episode, but Nintendo has announced another Switch model, and this is going to be replacing the original Switch. So it's pretty much the same Switch in every way except for the following differences. So the new model will have a product serial number starting with XKW as opposed to XAW. That's one way you're going to be able to tell the difference. And this newer Switch model is going to have a battery life of between 4.5 to 9 hours compared to the original model's 2.5 to 6.5 hours. So this is a pretty substantial upgrade in battery life on this new Switch model.
For sure.
I don't play my Switch just in handheld for hours at a time, so I've never really had an issue with the battery life of even the original Switch, but I know a lot of people do or on long plane trips or long car rides, and this would be a pretty big deal to someone who plays a lot of handheld. So I was happy to see them doing this. And this looks like it's just going to, like I said, just replace the regular Switch. The price is going to stay the same. Just people who buy a Switch in the next few months once this is released are just going to get a better Switch, really.
Right.
So I thought that was really neat that Nintendo did that. I don't remember them ever really doing that on a previous console they had, making it look the same but be better in some way.
Right, exactly.
Looks like these units are going to start appearing on store shelves in August in North America and September in Europe. And the boxes for these new Switches will also have a new look. And so it's a slightly different box. And, of course, now it makes me want this box.
Oh, I know. I've seen the artwork for the box, and it is sharp. I really like it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I would say if you don't have a Switch and you are looking to buy one and you're not interested in the Switch Lite, you want something that you can play in both handheld and on the TV, I think at this point I would wait till August to get this one because it would be nice to have the better battery life for sure.
Right, just in case.
We also got some more hardware announced by Nintendo, and this is something I wondered if we would ever see, and that's we got two new sets of Joy-Cons that were announced, and I was very surprised by this. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I've kind of given up on seeing any more Joy-Con come out, but I think it was kind of more like one and a half Joy-Cons were announced.
That's right. I was going to get to that. So, yeah. Well, how about you run down the color combos they announced?
So, it's blue and neon yellow, which is what we already have. So just one blue Joy-Con, one neon yellow Joy-Con, and then the other set is a purple and a neon orange. So yeah, a little bit odd color combinations, in my opinion. I would prefer two purple, two blue, two orange, and everything like
yes.
that.
Oh, I would love to have two orange. That would be so nice.
That'd look really cool.
And of course, I haven't seen these in person, but the purple and the orange set, they remind me kind of the GameCube colors, the purple and the spice orange.
They do, yeah.
I'm betting they're going to be slightly different color than that, but that's what I would love.
The only reason, I'm not really planning on picking these up, but when I'm at the store and I see these on the shelf, that'll determine whether I pick them up or not.
For sure. But yeah, getting over to the other color combo, the blue and neon yellow. I thought this is very strange because this does look like a new blue, if I'm not mistaken,
yes.
right? This is kind of more of a classic blue, not the neon blue that comes like with the red and blue Switch console. And then they're throwing in a neon yellow as the other one, which we've had forever now, ever since ARMS came out.
Right.
I was very surprised that it wasn't two new colors.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed by that personally. It'd be more of a selling point to me if it was a different color.
Yeah, I will say, you know, there are the Mario Red Joy-Cons, which I think you may even own. And I think this blue here and that Mario Red would look pretty good together because they're more like classic blue and red.
Quit trying to talk me into it.
I think you should get both of these, Chad. That's what I'm saying.
I got to pre-order them now.
But anyway, yeah, even though I'm not just super enthused by these colors, I am very glad that Nintendo is still making them, and it just makes me glad that there's still a chance that we'll get more in the future.
So. Right. Oh, yeah, I always love seeing new colors.
Exactly. Okay, moving on away from the Nintendo hardware, I got a few other news items here. One thing I wanted to mention is Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled got a new update, and it is supposed to cut the load times by 10 to 15 seconds. And if you remember from a previous episode when I was talking about this game, the load times were one of my biggest complaints. They were so long. So this is going to cut them by about 30%, and I haven't actually had a chance to test this yet. Been really busy since I found out about this update, but I think that's great news for Crash Team Racing fans or for people wanting to buy this, that they really did cut down the load time. So I thought that was definitely worth mentioning here.
Right, yeah, I heard about this, and yeah, I'm very excited that they're doing this here.
Yeah, and another thing we got, another news item, is that looks like, I think this was Waypoint that confirmed this, but supposedly there's an internal Nintendo memo in North America so far that instructs customer service at Nintendo to fix Joy-Con drift for free now. And if you don't know what Joy-Con drift is, it's kind of been big in the news here lately in the last couple of weeks, and it seems like a lot of people are having trouble with their Joy-Cons as far as if you're just not even touching the joystick on the Joy-Con, you would think that if it controlled the camera or something, that the camera wouldn't be moving. But with this Joy-Con drift issue, it's like someone's pressing the thumbstick even when it's not. So like maybe the camera just starts panning if you're not touching it, and it drives people bananas. And up until now, the only solution was to either buy new Joy-Cons or send it into Nintendo for repair. And I was hearing that the cost of fixing one Joy-Con is $40, which is not really a good deal at all, in my opinion.
No.
So I think it's good that Nintendo has recognized that this is an issue and that they're now going to fix them for free, whether or not they're in warranty. So as far as I know right now, it's U.S. only. I know I saw some people that were in Europe that were pretty upset about this, but it's nice to know if you do have this issue that Nintendo will take care of it for free.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And then lastly here, this is another kind of alongside that Crash Team Racing fixing complaint people had. Super Mario Maker has Super Mario Maker 2. I know one thing we mentioned that some people were complaining about on our Super Mario Maker 2 episode was that for people that like make a lot of courses, they could only make 32. That's all you can upload. Well, Nintendo has changed that, and you can now they've now increased it to 64 courses. So this isn't going to probably affect either me or you because we're kind of petty petrified by even making one level. But this is really nice for people that are really good and that are really into this, that now they have twice as much space. And Nintendo has mentioned, along with this announcement, that they're going to increase it again sometime in the future. I wouldn't doubt that they might even double it again and get to 128.
That'd be good for when I get on that creation spur of the moment here. Yeah, start building all kinds of crazy courses.
Exactly. 64 of them.
Yeah.
So, that's going to kind of do it for all the news that we have this time. Let's go ahead and talk about recent releases, and this will probably be pretty quick because we only have two items here. So, kind of the big one here would be Fire Emblem Three Houses is coming out this Friday, July 26th, and this is the big Nintendo game for the end of July here.
Which house are you choosing?
I don't even know the three houses anymore. I'm sorry. Is there a wolf one? Maybe the wolf one.
I'm just putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't even know if I'm picking this up for sure. But I'm sure when like you said, when I see it on the shelf, I'll probably end up having to buy it.
Make sure you go to Walmart if you end up getting it.
Exactly. So, that's coming out this Friday. And then also on the same day, the Pokemon Trainer, the Isabelle and the Pichu Smash Brothers Amiibo are being released. So this is something I will for sure be picking up because I have them pre-ordered.
Right, yeah, same here. The Isabelle one looks like it's going to be the hardest one to get. It's
really?
It's already sold out, I believe, on Best Buy at least. All the others are still available for pre-order.
That's so strange to me because you can already get, at least two other Isabelle Amiibos?
So.
And you can't get these other two characters, but hey, whatever.
Yeah.
I did notice someone got a Pichu Amiibo early, and they had it next to the Pikachu Smash Brothers Amiibo, and the Pichu is actually bigger, so I thought that was kind of funny.
Had to put it beside the Detective Pikachu.
Exactly, yeah. So, we're definitely picking up these Amiibos. We're all in on any 100%. New Amiibos.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good deal. All right, well, hey, we're going to take a quick break real quick, and when we return, we're going to have another look back.
So our look back this episode is going to be featured on Donkey Kong. This is the original arcade game from where a lot of beloved characters have appeared. So I wanted to do one because this, to me, is kind of where some of Nintendo's history just starts up right here.
100%. I'm excited. Let's do it.
All right. Most of the information I've got is from Wikipedia, but also just from what little knowledge that I possess as well.
Okay.
So Donkey Kong is an arcade game. It was released in 1981. So very old game here that we're dealing with.
Yes. Older than me even.
Oh my.
That's ancient.
So the plot of this game is pretty much the ape kidnaps the girl, the boy defeats the ape, and the boy rescues the girl.
Oh, the age-old story.
The age-old story. That's what I thought. It introduced the most beloved characters, Donkey Kong, Jumpman, who is we now know as Mario, Nintendo's flagship character.
Of course.
And Pauline, who you don't hear a whole lot about until maybe the last couple years recently. And now
she's had a huge resurgence here lately.
She really has.
Awesome.
And all these characters were created by Shigeru Miyamoto.
Right.
Donkey Kong is now known as Cranky Kong in the Donkey Kong Country series. So this is something that I did not find out until maybe a year ago, tops.
Yes.
I had no idea. I always thought Donkey Kong was always Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say this. They're surprised by this. But if you'll remember, on the original Donkey Kong Country on the Super Nintendo, it starts out with Cranky Kong, like with a little like record player, and he's standing on the girder from Donkey Kong.
It
the
does.
Red girder.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the original Donkey Kong. It's not Cranky Kong. It's pretty cool.
That's very neat. Yeah, I love how they do stuff like that.
Yeah.
The name of Jumpman, which was Mario's name back then, was originally chosen for its similarity to the popular brands Walkman and Pac-Man. Walkman and Pac-Man, either way.
Right, okay,
Those are both before my time, too.
So you never had a Walkman, Chad?
I never did.
I had several.
Oh, wow, okay. So that's like a
portable cassette player.
A portable cassette player.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Extremely
it was.
Popular when I was a child.
I barely know what cassette tapes are. So. But they changed the name to Mario in likeness of Mario Segale, the landlord of the original office space of Nintendo of America. And I believe we first found this out on the Nintendo Power podcast.
That's right.
So
yes.
That was really cool to hear that little history.
It's a good bit of trivia right there.
For sure.
You know, I did know about how Mario got his name, but I never knew that Jumpman was chosen because there was other popular brands with a man in the name, but that actually makes a lot of sense because there really wasn't anything bigger in the 80s than the Walkman and the Pac-Man. That stuff was everywhere. So
right, yeah.
That's very interesting.
Very neat. From what I can find, this is the first platforming game to feature jumping. So
very cool.
True,
yeah,
that's very
interesting.
Very crazy. So the game is pretty much divided into four different single-screen stages, and each represents 25 meters of the girders and the structures that Donkey Kong is climbing. The final stage is at 100 meters.
That's right.
So, and then after the fourth stage, Mario, who is named Jumpman, of course, and Pauline are reunited. Donkey Kong plummets to his demise. And if you notice, whenever Mario and Pauline are reunited, Pauline is taller than Mario.
Yes, that's very interesting.
At least by 2 pixels. So. Yeah.
You know, I think Mario just likes taller women because Princess Peach is also taller than him. So. Yeah, he's kind of got a thing for taller ladies.
This was his girlfriend at the time, for sure.
Yeah, so. And I don't think anybody really knows what happened between the two.
I don't know if we want to. It was probably ugly. So. And upon completion of the fourth stage, the game repeats the four stages with increased difficulty.
Right.
So I've made it past a few stages, but it gets pretty hard for me.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's one thing about this game. This is a hard game, especially for if you didn't grow up playing it. Yeah, this game is very difficult, and if you just even fall too far off of something, you'll die. I mean, it's very unforgiving.
So. That's where I seem to have the most trouble, is I'll miss a jump and nothing, and it'll just take me out.
Yeah.
Let's see here. There is a special Donkey Kong stage in Super Mario Odyssey, though.
That's halfway through the game, would you say?
New Donk City, right. And I believe that was on our game of the year and everything. It was
definitely a special mention. Moments of the year,
Moments of the year.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Pauline is now a mayor of New Donk City. So she's finally got over that traumatic experience. She even mentions in the game how traumatic that day was.
Yes.
So that's very cool. Also, her hat, purse, and umbrella make an appearance in Mario Odyssey, which were collectibles in Donkey Kong.
Yes, exactly. You get a high score for getting them.
Right. She is still taller than Mario, so she has not shrunk any. And so, while it may be hard to find a Donkey Kong arcade cabinet, you know, this game is still very, very accessible.
True.
You can find it on the NES, the Game Boy, and these are all fair, kind of different versions maybe than the arcade, but the Game Boy Advance. You can get it on Animal Crossing on the GameCube if you can find an NES console for it.
That's the only way I'll play.
That's the only way I'll play. and you can play it on Donkey Kong 64, which...
That's right.
At the time, I didn't have an NES. I had an N64. I would play it this way.
Exactly.
And Nintendo Switch Online has a version...
The NES version.
That's right, yes. Yep. And the actual arcade version is called Donkey Kong Arcade Archives, and it can be bought on the Switch for $7.99.
Yeah, and that one's special because it's arcade perfect. So right. That's, if you want the full arcade experience and you have a Switch, you can actually have that now.
That's very cool, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, Mario and Donkey Kong have definitely became two of Nintendo's most popular and their most recognizable characters, even if it's not the original Donkey Kong, who's now Cranky Kong.
Yeah.
But Donkey Kong is still very, very recognizable. And it all started pretty much from this one game here.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, where would we be without this game as far as in Nintendo? I mean, it would be a completely different company if it wasn't for Mario and Donkey Kong.
It really would, yeah. And so Donkey Kong, you know, it's definitely one of the most popular games, as well as one of the most important games, if not the most important game for Nintendo of all time.
Yeah, no, it's 100% right. I mean, again, without Mario and Donkey Kong, I mean, Nintendo would just be so different, and sure, I'm glad that they made this game and that these characters became so huge. And then, I mean, just think about how many games Mario and Donkey Kong have been in since this. You couldn't even count them all.
No, so. you really couldn't, especially just all the little cameos and everything that they've been in.
Yeah, Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that's about all I had on the game. There's really not much as far as gameplay and everything. You're just trying to... He takes Pauline away, and you just try to rescue Pauline.
Yeah,
so.
It's one of them very simple to learn, but really hard to master. I mean, this is a hard game even just to get through the four stages, honestly.
To me, the main thing about this game is just kind of the history of it, and that's why I love it so much.
For sure. Well, man, thanks so much for getting all this together. Again, this is something I learned a lot in some of these facts that I didn't even know because, like I said, this game was even before my time. This is one of the original arcade hits, and it's pretty cool to kind of see all the things that it has helped inspire over the years.
Yes, definitely.
All right, so moving into our main topic, and that's going to be Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Now, we picked this up on launch day and have been playing it ever since. Now, I have been extremely busy since this game came out and has not had as much time to play as I'd like, and I'm not near as far as you are, so I'm going to kind of let you take the lead here on this game here.
Okay, so yeah, we've kind of broke it up into a few different things here. We're going to start by talking about some of the single player and some of that.
Okay, perfect. That's all I've done so far.
All right, good deal. You know, this as far as the previous Ultimate Alliance game, this one definitely has more of a cartoon and a comic art style and a feel to it.
It really does, yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with Ultimate Alliance or Ultimate Alliance 2. Those two games, the second one kind of followed the original one, and this one doesn't have anything to do with those at all.
Right, and those were made by Activision and were third party, and now this one's being published by Nintendo with a new, a different developer. Was it Team Ninja that's doing this
one? Yes, someone else, and Team Ninja. I can't remember the other one.
Perfect.
But, yeah, and this, if you've never played an Ultimate Alliance game, if you've ever played X-Men Legends, this is pretty much the exact same feel as one of those, or maybe even Diablo, I believe.
Right, yeah, and I loved X-Men Legends and the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games. Those were a lot of fun when they came out.
Right, I love it. You could start out by choosing your difficulty, friendly or mighty. So I chose Mighty.
I did too, yeah. They kind of guilt you into it. They're like, if you play most games, you'll want to play on Mighty. I'm like, do I?
Yeah, I know.
I have been playing on Mighty.
I felt forced. Yeah. So, yeah. The one thing I really like about this game is that the camera can be changed from classic, which is kind of that overhead look where you can see all of your characters.
The whole team.
Or you can do it to heroic, which follows your hero more closely, the playable character that you're playing as. It follows it more closely, just kind of behind you. But there are some points that you need an overhead look, and the camera just switches back to that when it is needed.
Okay, interesting. Now, how do you switch from this? Because I've never been able to figure this out. I've just been playing only with the classic camera.
You go into the options while you're playing the game. Just hit the start button or the pause.
Okay, so it's in the pause menu.
Right,
okay.
Yeah, you go to the camera.
I kept thinking maybe it was like a button press or something.
Right, it took me a little while to find it, too.
So, have you tried this out? Do you prefer one way or the other?
I always like classic, because that's what I'm used to, but the last few hours I've been playing, I've been doing it on heroic, and I haven't really noticed it hasn't been bothering me or anything.
Okay, cool.
You start the game with only 4 playable characters, which you get many more later, of course, but only 4 in the first chapter. Well, technically 5, but you can only control 4.
Right, yeah.
It's the Guardians of the Galaxy, so Rocket and Groot are considered one character.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was a little disappointed by that, because I thought it would be fun to play as, like, Rocket Raccoon. I figured he'd be real speedy and stuff, and have some range with his weapon, and I don't know, I didn't really enjoy myself playing as Groot.
Yeah, so. In all of the cutscenes, Rocket is always by himself.
Right, it's very strange, yeah.
He's my favorite of the Guardians, so I wish he was solo.
Yeah, I will say, though, I do like how this starts you out with, even though this game has a gigantic roster, I'd really like that it starts you off with just 4 playable characters, and because to me, that's a lot of the fun in a game like this, is unlocking new characters as you go.
It is, and it takes you pretty much through the whole chapter 1 with just these characters. In the other Ultimate Alliances, you start out with 4 characters, but you could change them pretty quick after you started, right? There on this game so far, I haven't finished the game by any means. I don't know how long it is, but I'd say I'm close to halfway, I would think.
Okay.
But so far, there have been lots of new and classic heroes and villains, whether they're playable or not.
Yes.
You see anything from Doc Ock to the Kingpin and just crazy characters. It's really cool how they're fitting so many different characters into this. I really like that it's not affected a whole lot by the movies is the thing.
Yes, I do too. This to me is really more like you said, a comic book or a cartoon where they're able to use all kinds of characters and just all the cameos in this game. I've just been surprised. You know, you start off kind of on the raft and it's kind of a Spider-Man theme. And so, You know, they could get away with only having, you know, 1 or 2 Spider-Man villains on this whole thing. But you just run into, I don't know, 8 or 9 of them. It's just one after the other. Sandman, Venom, Green Goblin. It's just one after the other. And it's really neat seeing all of them in the game.
Right, yeah. No, I really love that. And I'm a huge comic book. I'm a huge Marvel fan. So this is just awesome.
Oh, yeah. We should mention that. We, of course, are gigantic Nintendo fans, obviously. But we also love Marvel. And you still are pretty into the comics. And we were really heavy into that for a while, so yeah, this is just perfect for me as far as a new game for the Switch. This right here,
right? It combines the two things I love the most into one, so it's
right,
perfect.
Yeah.
Alternate costumes for characters are unlockable. So far, from what I've seen, these characters are pretty lame. So
that's what I've heard as well. Have you unlocked any
I have. Okay. A friend has, and I've seen his, and they are not very good.
From what I understand, and I could be wrong about this, but a lot of them are almost just like a different, like almost like a palette swap or something.
Yeah,
just not nothing's, and that's disappointing because especially if you follow Marvel Comics, there's a lot of really cool costumes for these characters that they've had over the years, and
sure.
I really expected them to have stuff like that, and it sounds like they don't.
I hope further in the game if. Some people I've heard say that there's only one unlockable costume for each character. I don't know. I just haven't unlocked any yet.
Right.
So either they're very slow, but I hope maybe this could even be added something as DLC later
on. Yeah, because if that's indeed true, there's just one per character. And that to me, that's kind of a negative because I really was expecting it just would make sense that you would have a lot of cool classic costumes for these characters, and it's a little disappointing if they don't.
Especially characters like Spider-Man, you have so many costumes
exactly.
to pull from.
Yeah.
Some of the voice actors include the talents of Yuri Lowenthal as Spider-Man, which he was Spider-Man on the PS4 game.
That's so cool.
That is really cool.
I love that.
So that is one of the costumes I wish would make an appearance is his PS4 Spider-Man costume. I think that would be really cool on this game.
Oh, that would be neat.
Especially since
I wonder if Sony would allow them to do that.
I don't know. And Nolan North is voicing Deadpool, and he voices Nathan Drake in the Uncharted series.
That's right.
So that's pretty cool. And I believe even Miles Morales is, I can't remember his name, it's the voice actor off the Ultimate Spider-Man or Spider-Man TV show, whatever one is going
right
now.
Yes, correct.
So that's really neat. So about where are we in the game, do you think? I'm currently in the Dark Dimension, so I'm fighting the forces of evil here.
Interesting. Well, how many hours would you say maybe you think you're in? I mean, I know it's probably just to be a guess.
Yeah, I'd say 5 or 6, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm still on the raft. Like I said, it's just been a really crazy time ever since I bought this game. But I've gotten to where I just beat Venom and Shocker, and I thought this was kind of neat because Venom ends up joining your team after this. So.
Very cool, and I'm a huge Venom fan.
Oh yeah, so. And he looks really cool in this game. I'll have to say
he does. And when I love that there's cutscenes too that you get to see kind of the heroes and villains interact.
Oh, I love it.
And
yeah.
After Venom joins your team, there's a lot of a resistance. Nobody really likes him being on the team. So
oh, okay,
you may enjoy that.
Yeah, and you're right. I love that, you know, this game is, of course, just a lot of action. But, you know, it seems like every 5 or 10 minutes, you're treated to a nice little cutscene. They're all fully voiced and pretty well done, in my opinion.
Yeah, they really are.
I've really enjoyed that so far.
So as far as the multiplayer, I've had no experience with local multiplayer. I don't suppose you've had any chance to play with anyone.
I definitely would like to do this, probably even with you, and try it out. I would expect it to work similar to the previous Ultimate Alliance games, though. I never had any issues with those.
Yeah, same here. I have been able to try out some online multiplayer, though. So
oh, okay,
I'll
figure
we'll talk about that for a little bit here. So it's up to 4 players, of course, because that's how many characters you can have at one time.
Awesome.
Since it's online, the camera follows each player separately, so this is a big deal. If you want to go over here, I don't think you can just go to the end of the map and I'm still going to be at the beginning.
Right.
But it'll allow you a little bit of distance so we're not just tugging at each
other.
That's
nice.
So
that's I would assume that would be different probably in the local multiplayer. You probably had to all stay pretty much on the same screen.
That's
I'd
what
say.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so that may be one benefit to online.
For sure. I've only played this with 2 players.
Okay.
I haven't had a third or fourth player, so it's my experience is only with the 2. But with only 2 players, the host player can switch between 3 of the characters. But like me, I was the guest when I was playing. I could only play the character that I chose. The other players choose others.
That's a little odd. You would think you'd be able to switch between any of the available characters.
That's what I assumed. But it was a drawback to me. I did not like that at all. I was hoping I would be able to at least choose 2, and then we could switch between those.
Right. So when you joined the host's game, did you get to choose which of the 3 characters you could play as, or did it just stick you on a random one and that's what you're stuck with?
No, I was able to choose. I chose Wolverine, so I was able to choose my character. But
so you can
was,
at least choose the one that you're stuck with.
You want the whole time until you hit another checkpoint there.
Right? All right.
So when I was playing, your story mode is actually affected on this game. When you're playing online, so if I'm ahead of you in the story, and if you're able to join me, then your story is going to get booted up to mine. I'm not if I'm real ahead of you though, I'm not sure if it'll even let you join me. It may need be players that are above you and stuff.
Oh,
that way,
it
doesn't spoil everything for you.
That's kind of weird to me. It shouldn't affect if I join you. It shouldn't affect my story at all.
Right? Yeah.
But, Man, I think I would almost be, and it looks like, if I remember right, there's several different, you can have several save games at once. It seems like there's several. I almost would be tempted just to have a save game for my single player campaign and a save file for my co-op online or something.
Right. It worked out.
I don't know how I feel about that, really.
Right. It is aggravating. The only good thing that happened was me and my friend that played, we were at the exact same spot. So we both progressed through the level exactly as we were supposed to, and we had help from each other. So that was really cool on those tough boss fights and everything.
It would be nice because I do. It's just playing through just the beating up the regular baddies is not bad by yourself, but on the bosses, it would be nice to have another human there helping you.
I've had a lot of trouble in the dark dimension. I could really use a helping hand.
Okay, so,
I got stuck there and I kind of quit all of a sudden.
Yeah, the computer control characters to me were fairly useless against like a boss.
Oh, yeah. I agree. So I played online for about 2 hours, and I didn't actually notice hardly any lag or glitching or anything. I've been hearing some trouble about that, especially on frame drops and everything.
Oh, okay.
But I really didn't notice it. You do have some special powers you can use. You activate the L and R buttons.
Right.
And if you activate all four at one time, I've noticed that the game kind of slows down, but there's so much chaos.
Yeah, I've really noticed that as well.
It doesn't really affect my playing on something like that.
Yeah.
But I really didn't notice. The only thing, I was booted off twice during probably 2 hours that we played. And it was always after cutscenes. So I would ask him while we were playing, are you seeing the cutscene? Everything was happening at exactly the same time. But after the cutscene, I would just be by myself and he'd be by himself. It'd just say one of us left the room.
Oh, wow.
So it was really odd. I don't know what was the problem was there.
Was it easy to get back in with him, or was it annoying?
You had to quit out of the game and start up a room again.
Oh, that's irritating.
And if you do start up a room, you'll probably want to put a password on it, because I had people trying to join me the whole time.
Oh, really? So interesting. So it's kind of like open to anyone.
Yeah, you put a password on it and that'll fix that problem. But if you're just wanting somebody to play with, I had no trouble getting other people in the room.
Oh, that's neat.
I waited for him maybe 5 minutes and two other people tried to join me right then.
So, okay, cool. Is there any way to, communicate with, say, if you're not, if you're playing with random people, is there any way to communicate with them?
Nintendo Switch Online app.
Yeah. Oh, really? It's supported.
It says it is supported. I got a notification on my phone. We didn't try it. We used Discord. So I'm not sure if that works with...
Wow. I'd actually like to try that with some randoms and just see if you could voice chat with them, kind of like you can in Mario Kart. Right. That'd be interesting.
I'm sure it works with friends, but yeah, randoms, I'm just not sure on that.
Yeah. Interesting.
It'd be worth a check out, though. So that's about all my experience with the online. I'd like to talk about a few of the characters, if you don't mind. Some of the ones that stand out in our minds. So my ideal team of four right now, and this may be some spoilers for you, so I'm sorry.
Hopefully I'm skip ahead about 5 or 10 minutes if you don't want anything spoiled.
The game has been out for a little while, though, so hopefully not. But my favorite characters are Wolverine, of course, the Peter Parker version of Spider-Man, the original, Elsa Bloodstone, who I did not know anything about getting into this game.
Is she an Inhuman?
She's a monster hunter. I don't know if she's an Inhuman.
Okay. I don't know anything about her either.
She was announced at E3 as a playable character, and that was the first I'd ever even heard of her. And I'm a huge Marvel fan. I'm not bragging or anything to brag about, but there's not many characters that just suddenly like, who is that?
Pretty deep in it.
I was into it very hard for a while. But it looks like she's a monster hunter. She's not been a very popular character, though, in the past. She had like a mini series.
Okay.
So this is kind of an odd character. Maybe she'll get popular from this game. I don't know.
She's a lot of fun to play as, though.
She's a lot of fun to go play as. She has two shotguns on her back and everything. Oh, okay. She's just a classic monster hunter. I really get a Van Helsing vibe from her.
Oh, okay,
of that. And Nightcrawler is my other addition.
Oh, nice.
So, an X-Man, I'm a huge fan of Nightcrawler. I love the teleporting abilities that he has.
Yes.
But overall, Wolverine is just my powerhouse. He's my highest level character. If I'm playing to win, I use Wolverine.
Wolverine, yeah.
And plus the healing factor, you can heal up while you're playing, and that helps out a lot.
He's really cool. Yeah, well, I don't have near as many characters unlocked as you do. I don't have Elsa, Bloodstone, or Nightcrawler unlocked yet. But so far, I do have two favorites. They're two of the same ones you mentioned, though. I really like Spider-Man, the Peter Parker version, and Wolverine. I think I actually prefer Spider-Man, though, the most. That's who I play. I love how he can kind of do his punching combo and then go into a swing kick and then shoot little webs while he's in the air. It's so satisfying.
I do that all the time.
Oh, it feels so good.
It is very cool. That's
like, I don't think it would ever get old to me. It's so awesome. So he's by far my favorite. But like you said, Wolverine's a powerhouse, can heal himself, and he can just get in there and just get dirty, you know, just close combat. So
exactly. And that's something with Elsa Bloodstone. She's all range, and
right,
as well as Hawkeye. If you've played Hawkeye yet, Hawkeye has a lot of range, and you can even aim his arrows. He's very fun to play as.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you want to do. You want to build a team that's pretty balanced. You know, you want to have someone that can get in there and mix it up, but also someone that can, from afar, use some sort of a gun or a bow and arrow or something like that.
Right, so, exactly. Yeah. So that's some of our...
those are the two favorites I have so far. It sounds like at least we agree on those for sure.
For sure. And you're fixing to unlock Miles Morales probably. So I
can't wait.
I know you're a big Miles fan, so I can't wait to see what you think of him.
Definitely.
I'd like to talk about some of the DLC that's coming out. So
yes, definitely.
Loki was actually announced as a day one addition to the team. I haven't unlocked him yet, but they say he is unlockable.
Yeah, they announced him at Comic-Con, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
that's really cool. I wasn't expecting someone like him to be in the game.
Yeah, so. Me either. Yeah,
other than maybe as a boss or something.
Right, yeah.
That's really cool that he's going to be playable.
Cyclops and Colossus are in the game. They're in the X-Men levels, but they're not playable, but they will join the game's roster for free on August 30th.
That's really cool. I can't believe they're just going to get them for free.
Yeah, they're just adding characters like that. That's really cool. I can't believe they weren't really in the game as playable characters right from the get-go, but I'm really glad that they're adding them later.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wonder if they might even do this some more in the future, have a couple characters for free. That's really neat. And man, so far I've been really impressed, and we're not even into all of the DLC, but I've been really impressed at how much stuff they have planned for this game, where it's not just, hey, you beat the game that's on the cartridge and then you're done. There's just going to be more stuff to do.
Going to be some more stuff, right, yep. Yeah. So there is going to be an expansion pass, and that is going to be featuring the Marvel Knights, X-Men, and the Fantastic Four. And that content is available for purchase for $19.99 right now.
Right.
So if you purchase the expansion pass, you will receive an in-game alternate color chef outfit for Deadpool. So I think you need to go pre-order this or purchase this right now.
Oh, yes. You got to have it.
Oh, man. But that is available as soon as you buy the expansion passes.
Okay, cool. Because, yeah, that's really the only thing you get if you buy it right now, because these expansions aren't available quite yet.
They are not. The first DLC pack is going to be the Marvel Knights. It's going to be called Curse of the Vampire. It features some new playable characters, Blade, which was in both of the other Ultimate Alliances, I believe, Moon Knight, which I believe this is your guy.
I've got to have this.
So this will cost you $20 because you can't buy these separately. The Punisher and Morbius, which I thought was a super odd choice.
Yes, this is cool though, man. Like, I wouldn't expect any, maybe the Punisher, but I wouldn't have expected these other three at all.
Right, yeah. And so, since this is going to be kind of a vampire, a monster, I really think Elsa Bloodstone will have something to do with this section.
Probably
here.
So, yeah. I'm very much looking forward to this. I'm 100% buying this expansion pass. I don't know about you.
Oh, I'm definitely in. Yeah, yeah. I got to have that Deadpool outfit. So.
Oh, yes.
This says fall 2019, but I believe a release date of September 30th has already came out.
Okay, cool. So you know, in a couple of months we'll have this.
Couple of months. Hopefully by then I'll be done with the game and be ready for it.
Yep.
The second DLC I assume is X-Men, but I don't know that for sure. They just say in 2019, and the next one they're saying 2020.
Wow.
So these will be released in three different waves, and then after that, I don't know.
Who knows, yeah.
Yeah, 2020, that's pushing it a little bit to me for this game, but
for sure.
We'll see.
Well, that's cool. I know Blade just got a movie announced at Comic-Con as well, so that's kind of cool that he's in the game. And then I think they're going to be, Disney's probably going to be rebooting Fantastic Four as well. So I'm actually looking forward to the Fantastic Four DLC, whichever one it is, if it's the second or the third. But I'm pretty excited about all these characters they're adding to the game.
Yeah, same here. I love the Fantastic Four. I'm just sad that they haven't been featured in a lot of the other games. And
exactly.
Everything.
And I think also it's probably worth mentioning that each of these DLC packs, I think it's going to be more than just the characters. It looks like there's going to be some story content and stuff as well. So
exactly.
I think if you're into this game, I think for $19.99 for all three of these, I think it's probably going to be worth your money. We'll know for sure when we see the first DLC pack how substantial it is, but I'm in. I really want to play as Moon Knight. So
yeah, no, I think Moon Knight is going to be a super fun character, and Morbius is just a real odd choice. He just sticks out to me just because, wow, he's definitely a villain. So right, it's just very cool.
Very interesting, yeah. But, makes me wonder if we'll get any villains, like X-Men villains or Fantastic Four villains in those packs.
Maybe. Very possible, yeah.
Then we'll get a Doctor Doom or something.
Oh, that would be incredible.
Cool. Yes.
So that's about all I had on Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 so far. I'm really, really enjoying the game. I will definitely be picking up the DLC expansion pass as well.
Yeah, same here. And thanks for kind of heading up this because you've played a lot more than I have. And you're also a little more knowledgeable about the Marvel stuff than I am. But I'm very much looking forward to getting some time to get into this game and really, really get far in it. So I'm very much enjoying it and very much happy with the purchase.
Great. Yeah, I hope we can get to play some co-op here soon.
For sure. All right, so that's going to do it for this week. Before we leave, we want to remind everyone that they can visit our show page. It's found at anchor.fm/Karibo Shoe Podcast. Of course, we're available on any popular podcast app or anywhere you get your podcast. We should be available if you just search for the name of our show. If you enjoy the show, please rate us on Apple Podcast or on Google Podcast. If you have questions or comments, you can email them to us at KariboShoePodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at Karibo Shoe Pod. We're on Instagram at Karibo Shoe Podcast. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/Karibo Shoe Podcast. That's going to do it for this week, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.